If you look up the word rage in the dictionary, you'll find that it means angry fury and violent anger and violence of feeling. So now you know what police say Jerry Brandon Hobbs claims to have felt when he asked his young daughter to come home from the park and she refused. Now you know what it is, we are told, that allegedly drove him to kill his daughter and her friend in Zion, Illinois, on Mother's Day. As if a child's sunny day infraction could ever, ever somehow plausibly explain what happened. But not all in the law agree with my skepticism. Rage as an emotion, after all, is a legal concept. They call it a rage attack, or in the poetic language spoken by expert witnesses for the defense, episodic discontrol. It's, according to one defendant in a case from a few years ago, a well of emotion like a wave, and like a wave in the ocean, it can't be stopped. By pleading their own helplessness in such swirling seas, criminal defendants sometimes attempt to use rage to negate the intent needed in certain crimes. Here's what I mean. In Illinois, for example, someone can be convicted of first-degree murder when he intends to kill or do great bodily harm and knows that such acts will cause death or a strong probability of death or great bodily harm. Those words, intends and knows, are key to a conviction. At its simplest, if there's no knowing or intentional act, then all the elements of the crime are not met. No intent to kill, no understanding of what could happen, too mixed up to know, then there may be a death, but there's no homicide in the eyes of the law. So we have, in some cases, experts who testify for the defense that rage is the root of the evil. Rage, they say, causes a state of uncontrolled frenzy, marked by an intense and sudden passion and psychological emotional distress. It's that rage that would leave a person without true intent, they say, because a person who suffers a rage attack, perhaps brought on by an organic brain condition, would be unable to control his behavior or to conform his behavior to the requirements of the law. So we also have people like the man who stabbed a former girlfriend with scissors 89 times, once in the eye, a man who shot the woman who laughed at him, a man who killed three people on the spur of the moment. In all three Illinois cases, rage attacks were part of the defense strategy at trial or on appeal. But rage as a defense didn't work. And rage as a defense usually doesn't work. Sure, rage can sometimes be a mitigating factor and lead to a lesser sentence, but it does not often succeed in negating criminal liability altogether. As a prosecution expert once put it, rage is not a mental disease, but what's left when people are frustrated and unable to resolve resultant anxiety. It's something, she said, everyone must contain. If you look up rage in the dictionary, you'll also learn that it has Latin roots. It comes from a word meaning madness, and its obsolete meaning is insanity. The law doesn't define it that way. I'm Amy Guida.